Good afternoon, everybody. This is B.O. Boy.
DJ Anonymous.
DJ Anonymous with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast. And I have a special guest on the show. I have Miss Gail Gardner. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for inviting me.
No problem. No problem. So before we get into the podcast, can you introduce yourself to the people? Just to, you know, give them a, you know, introduce yourself to the fans.
Sure. So some people know me mostly from Twitter, where I'm at GrowMap, and from my website, growmap.com. Mm-hmm. But a lot of other people know me as the community manager of the Mastermind community at Biz Sugar.
Okay. And before we get into the, you know, we already in the podcast, I'm sorry. But so speak more of GrowMap. Is that something that's marketing? You pretty much help companies market themselves, right?
Right. Okay. So GrowMap is the blog that was started over 10 years ago.
Okay.
I think it was 2008. So maybe that's 14 years now. And we publish content about promoting a small business, anything to do with how to grow your small business. Mm-hmm. And that, in my case, includes freelancers and agencies that work with small businesses. So any topic that they would want to know about, we cover on my blog.
Okay. What made you want to get into this field?
Well, okay, so I was working for IBM. Mm-hmm. I was a field tech, handling mainframe accounts for 23 years, and I resigned and left. And my first thought was to build websites. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really want to build websites, so I fell into doing pay-per-click advertising. Mm-hmm. That's like Google AdWords, and back then it was other things more than that. Mm-hmm. And I did that for 5.5 years, and when I saw where that was going, where it was a zero-sum game and only the people with the deepest pockets were going to win anymore, mm-hmm. I decided to do small business marketing strategy. And I still do some of that for individual small businesses. I mostly help them prioritize because they're like overwhelmed with all the different things they could be doing. Mm-hmm. And so I help them prioritize and put in a process for what to do first and then what to go to next and so on. And so that's how GrowMap started. Mm. And that led me into writing for other sites. And that caused people to want to hire me to write. So I do some paid writing. But mostly people ask me to write and I don't have the time. So I take that work and I give it to other freelancers.
Okay.
So then that led me to doing more project management for writers for small businesses. And all that led to me becoming the Mastermind community manager. It's a small business community owned by Small Business Trends. Mm-hmm. And so there, basically, people can come get, instead of hiring me to give them advice, they can come into the community and get free advice and build relationships and learn how to grow whatever it is they're doing.
So Mastermind is pretty much like a small community of different small business owners, like networking, like something sort of like a LinkedIn, right?
Right. So the original form of a mastermind group, mm-hmm. was when you found five people roughly doing what you do, and you guys decide to meet regularly so that you can share knowledge and help support each other in a particular venture. And so the mastermind community is actually not small. We're at, as of right this minute, 39,428 members.
Wow.
And so the community overall is a mastermind where people come to find out, like, let's say you're a podcaster, mm-hmm. and you want to know, how do I grow my podcast? What kind of microphone would be better? Where should I upload my podcast? That kind of thing. Inside the mastermind community, there is a mastermind group specifically for video and podcasting.
Oh, so you actually have that right now, because I need that right now.
Right. Right. That exists right now. It's mm-hmm. free to join the mastermind community. And when you come in, you click on groups, public groups, and you look through there and you see what interests you. And you join any group that interests you. And then once a day, you get a digest that shows you the activities only for the groups that you care about. So even though we might have 150 posts that day, you'll only see the four or five related to podcasting or blogging or whatever you're into, right? So it's all about small business, but, and a lot of people don't really have the hang of it yet, but the point of it is, like, let's say you're a blogger and you want to figure out how to make money blogging.
Right.
We have a blogger discussion group for all things like, how do I blog? Where do I blog? I'm stuck. I don't know how to install a plugin. What do I do? We have a group for that, but we also have a group specifically for blog monetization, where we share what affiliate programs do most bloggers promote? What can get you more traffic? Because you need more traffic to make more money.
Right.
And so we made it so that you can become a valued member of a group. You get whitelisted, so you're, what you're doing is no longer moderated, mm-hmm. right? We have to moderate because the spammers are insane everywhere.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's ridiculous right now.
But in the group, yeah, so you can be in the podcasting group, and you can be a trusted member of the podcasting group, mm-hmm. and so you're whitelisted, and so are the five other podcasters, let's say. If we get five podcasters in there, and they're all sharing their best tips with each other, they're all going to get more successful at podcasting faster. Mm. And that is the goal of a mastermind group. And that's why we have it structured this way, so that, like, I want to make it really fast and easy. You come to the group, you click on my groups, you pick podcasting. Mm-hmm. Then you immediately see what's most important pinned at the top and any new stuff that's going on. And you'll get little notices if someone tags you or if something that's about a group that you're in has been discussed. Mm-hmm. You can look at it. You can share, like, you could share your latest podcast and say, in this podcast, I did this really well, or I'm trying to find a better way to do X. Does anybody have any ideas?
Right.
And so that's the whole point, is to get a group of thought leaders or mastermind or just people that are, they could be brand new at it, but they just really want to get good at something, mm-hmm. to come in and interact with their peers, right? And then people don't realize it's not that hard to be influential, right? As we think of influential. Now, it's hard to be Oprah, right? But it's fairly easy to be well-known on Twitter, yeah. right? It's fairly easy to become a well-known YouTuber or a podcaster. Right. And basically what you do is you interact with people who are already well known. You're seen as part of that group. And so, like, if I have 100,000 something, I don't know how many followers on Twitter.
You have a lot.
And you interact with me on Twitter, you'll end up on a, what do we call that? Follow Friday, mm-hmm. a Follow Friday mention on Twitter, or you'll come to a Twitter chat. And, you know, if you're interacting with me instead of, like, maybe you only have 100 followers on Twitter, mm-hmm. not you, but I mean, a new person,
yeah,
might.
New people, yes.
But you come to our Twitter chat and you're talking to me and I have 100,000 and you're talking to Ann and she has that many and you're talking to this other person and they have 50,000, right? Because you're interacting with us, our followers see you, they're more likely to follow you. And before you know it, instead of 100 followers, you've got 10,000 followers, mm-hmm. on your way to 100,000 followers. And so it's really not hard. You just have to interact and network with people that already have, you know, they're already where you're trying to go. Mm-hmm. And they can help you. Like, they'll say, well, this didn't work for me, but this other thing did work for me.
Right.
So then you don't waste your time doing the first thing. You will focus on doing the other thing.
Right. Now that's
right. The real shortcut to get where you're going is to find someone already there and ask them how they got there.
Right. Because I tell people all the time, I've only been doing podcasting for, I guess, 4 to 5 years. I had to take a little break, but DJing versus podcasting is way more, I want to say, easier. To have a well-known person come on the show and just, you know, have a conversation versus, you know, me as a DJ, you know, I had to try to get this artist and that artist to come on the mixtape or even, you know, or a club for me to DJ for them, you know, at that night. Or, you know, it's a lot of politics that goes on in the music industry. But, yes, like everything you said is right, and I'm, you know, I'm even learning from you, because one thing I learned the last couple of years with podcasting is that it's two social medias that I really use the most now. It's Twitter and LinkedIn, because you engage with the people more easily. It's more easy to engage with the people, as far as like Instagram, you gotta, it's too much, and you know, you try to inbox them and it's not very, it don't come off as very genuine, you know, like the response. But with Twitter and LinkedIn, it's like it's a different response, and even for you to have this platform, you know, like a lot of people need this right now. Like, I'm talking about names as podcasters. I'm talking about, you know, even people that's in real estate, people that's in marketing, you know, people that's trying to open up a construction company. Like, it's well needed right now.
Yeah, I really, I encourage people who are starting a business to come join the mastermind. Mm-hmm. Because, like, instead of having to pay a consultant, you can come talk to someone who is a paid consultant who will tell you for free some ideas. And I agree with you about the social platform. So Twitter is my number one social platform. And one of the reasons every small business and serious anything should be on Twitter is that that's where all the journalists are. So if you ever want to get mentioned in a newspaper or on a big site, those people are on Twitter. You know, that is like almost, I forget the statistic, 80 or 90% of all journalists are on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So that's why you have to be on Twitter. Plus, Twitter chats are a great way to meet a whole lot of influential people on the topic that you're interested in. Right. Then LinkedIn is where people look. Like, if someone contacts me and they want to collaborate, or they want to hire me, or they're looking for someone to hire, LinkedIn is where you should keep updated your bio and what you're doing. Right. And LinkedIn wants to be a publisher now, so you can publish there too. You can do video live on LinkedIn, but I think that's still by invitation only right now. But both of those are the top two places that I interact. I also interact on Facebook, but people more want to go to Facebook to do friends and family stuff. They don't really want to do business stuff there so much. But I will give, I want to give a great tip to all the podcasters out there.
Yes, I'm listening. I'm you on the show, I'm listening right now too.
The fastest way to grow your audience is to be a guest on a podcast that already has the audience you want.
Okay.
Right, so that makes sense. So that same thing applies to YouTube. If you're a homesteader on a YouTube, you have a new homesteading channel. If you want to, you want to plug into all the people that care about homesteading, you want to be a guest on the biggest homesteading YouTube channels, or if there's homesteading podcasts, I don't know if there are, but if there are, you would want to be a guest on those. So the fast way to get an audience when you don't have one is to borrow someone else's. Right. And if they like what you said, like, I'm on your podcast, if anything I say is useful to your listeners, then it's likely they'll join the Biz Sugar Mastermind. And maybe they're podcasters and they want to join the podcasting mastermind group. And then when they're interactive in there, because I can see everything because I'm the admin, I can then back up. Like, maybe I'll hear in your podcasting group that you guys are doing some big event or you have some special podcast that's really great. Then I can go tweet it for you, right? Or I can tag other people in the community that I know are interested in that topic and send them your way, right? So I'm basically, if you think of a wagon wheel, right? And all the spokes on the wheel, or a bicycle, if you don't know what a wagon wheel looks like, a bicycle rim, right? All the spokes are the individual people that I interact with, but I'm the hub in the center, right? So basically I'm like an old-fashioned switchboard operator. This person over here in the podcasting group had a great podcast about something else. Right? About blogging.
Right.
And so I will connect the podcasting to the blogger group, right? So I say to the blogger group, which is much larger, hey, you guys, over here in the podcasting group, they shared this great podcast. You should all go listen to it. right? So I'm like the connector, mm-hmm. and I try to help support the efforts of all the people out there who are doing creative stuff, who are building a small business, right? Who need an answer, a quick answer. Things are really frustrating if you don't know the answer and you have to like search forever through support tickets, right?
Right.
Or wait for to answer you. When if you know someone who already knows the answer, or you don't, but I do, you ask me the question, I go find the person I know that has the answer, and I say, hey, this person needs an answer to this question. Could you please come help them? And I get them to come help them. So even though maybe you don't know who in the group might know the answer, mm-hmm. I might know who might know the answer.
And what you're doing is very rare. There's not a lot of people that's doing this right now, as far as like just, you know, bring a whole bunch of content creators, business owners, you know, in like one platform to pretty much, like you said, like it's not about, it's like, instead of going to someone that's going to charge you $250 an hour just to, you know, tell you what to do with your business, you actually go to a bigger group and you hearing the different advices and stuff from different people on different views. And then you could write that down and you'd be like, you know what, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to add my flavor to it. Because even with me, with my podcasting, I'm glad you even said that, because I heard that before where one of the best things to do is to hop on, you know, to be a guest on other, you know, podcasts, platforms and stuff. And I think, and I'm just speaking for myself, like, you know, just the, you know, my experience. I don't know why a lot of people don't want to do it. I'm more open, you know, let's say X, Y, and Z, they have a business podcast and they talking about stocks and bonds. I may not know as much about stocks and bonds, but I still want to come on the show because, you know, just to give them a little bit of my expertise in that field, but also, you know, learn, you know, from them. But it's like this new generation that's coming up. They feel like they too independent. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. But
well, they haven't learned the value of the relationships yet.
Right.
But here's an idea. If you have a podcast that you listen to a lot, mm-hmm. but you're having trouble breaking through to that podcast, you would like to be a guest on there, but you haven't really got anywhere trying to do that. What you want to do is, like, you're listening to them anyway.
Right.
You want to highlight something they said in what you do, right? So if you're active on LinkedIn or Twitter and mm-hmm. you're listening to their podcast, you'll say, you know, they had a great podcast over at whatever, and tag them. And it was all about this, and I really found this particular thing valuable in that podcast. If you want to listen to it, here's the link. If you support them in what they're doing, they're going to be more likely to say yes to having you be a guest on their podcast.
Wow, okay. So I guess I got to do that more often. I'm sorry, what was you about to say?
Well, there's a book. Gary Vaynerchuk is we call him Gary V because people have trouble spelling and saying his last name.
Yeah, I know about
Gary V. Gary V had a book, mm-hmm. and the book title was Jab, 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 Right Hook, or something like that. Very close to that. And what he basically said was give, 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 and then ask, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to, like, support what they're doing, comment in their, like, I don't know that much about the podcasting world because I don't travel in a car anymore, so I don't listen to a podcast much. But if you, whatever they have going on, mm-hmm. share it on LinkedIn, but make an intelligent comment. If they post on LinkedIn, you know, like their stuff, make intelligent comments, recommend them to other people, tag people you know might be interested. Show them that you are supporting what they're doing, and they're more likely to want you to be a guest because they already know that you're kind of a fan and you're likely to say good things about them.
Right. That's something, you know, that's something I need to do, because I actually had a few other podcast shows that was on my show. And I think for me, what happened was, you know, real life happened and I wasn't as engaged like I used to. So I'm literally just, you know, I just started back podcasting maybe almost a month ago, like just, you know, constantly. So right now I'm just trying to get back in that mode because a lot of people, you know, some people don't understand that having a podcast, you're technically a media person. You got to do a lot of research. You got to, let's say, I know a couple podcasts that they do daily news, so they literally have to do research like all night, and then when they record their podcast, that's they jot down all the news that's going on, and they break it down, and you know if they have someone that's close to that situation, they'll interview them and stuff, and it's just it's a lot, and you have to you have to love to not only not talk to yourself, but really talking to hundreds or thousands of sometimes luckily millions of people. But you also have to have the patience to, you know, all right, I have this person coming on, like I had you scheduled at 2 o'clock, but then I have somebody else at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. So even though in between that hour, I have to have at least 30 minutes to an hour for myself to, you know, to re-energize myself from an interview, and then also spend some time, you know, some family time and stuff, and then I have to prepare myself for the next interview. Cause with me, I'm different. Some days
it really helps if you're prepared, and it helps if your guests are forthcoming.
Yes,
right. Like I couldn't have guests for our webinars. We do live webinars and presentations on specific topics at Biz Sugar.
Right.
And sometimes I'm like, I am trying to promote you and your business and what you know, and it would be really helpful if you could at least send me your, you know, like a bio, mm-hmm. what you want to talk about.
Yes,
and I get, because we do a blog post in advance, and we have to create the event, and it has a description, and mm-hmm. I need some details. And some people are very professional. They send the details very quickly, mm-hmm. up front, even before I ask for them. But other people, it's kind of hard. You say, you know, well, what would you like in your introduction? And if they don't have a bio on LinkedIn and they don't have information about themselves out there, mm-hmm. or they've been online forever and they have 4 different bios that are totally different and you don't know which one is what they're doing now, mm-hmm. it's really helpful if they come on. But I think a lot of people that are listening to podcasts or listening to videos, they don't really understand the amount of work that goes on in the background. Like to research, to get ready, to create, and then to promote, to upload, to edit. There's like video, especially, is a whole lot of work. Podcasting can be a lot of work.
Yes, it's a
whole. But here's an idea. If you can't get the big podcaster to come on your show, mm-hmm. On their show, they won't invite you on their show. Maybe you can invite them on your show. Mm. And if they're really good, they will promote that they're going to be on your show. But unfortunately, a lot of times they won't.
Right,
and so they won't tell their audience they're going to be on your show. So that's not as helpful. If they will tell their audience they're going to be on your show, that can be as good as being on their show. Right? So there's another angle. If they don't invite you on their show, invite them on your show and mm-hmm. see what they say.
Yes. That's true, because I always make sure, you know, I let people know who's coming on the show like a day or two before, because I like to pre-record and, you know, schedule like the episode like the next day or a couple of days afterwards. But yes, it's once you like, for me, it's a win when, you know, I have someone that came on the show and they say, oh, my podcast is, I was on Sports Biz Music, the podcast, and the episode is dropping Thursday at 9 p.m. And I witnessed it before on both angles, where someone didn't promote it, but someone did. And I seen that, you know, I had got a couple followers. And for me, a couple is more than zero, because you gaining more fans, you know, to listen to the show. So yeah, it's
right.
It's,
and no matter how small you are, mm-hmm. you can't count on it, but unusual things can happen.
Right.
So one time I did something and I got Oh, I remember. I tweeted something for another blogger.
Mm-hmm.
Some really great content. And an influencer who had 3 million followers who happens to follow me. He only followed like 600 people, but he had 3 million followers. He decided to retweet my tweet of this other person's content.
Mm-hmm.
And that content got like traffic, that just so much traffic, because this really well-known influencer tweeted because they followed me. Now that guy, that influencer was not following him and did not know him before that content. And the reason that he chose to tweet that was because he followed me. So you never know who might be following people. You might have 1,000 followers, but one of those followers might be famous, or they might be connected to someone really big in your niche and you don't know it.
Right.
It's like the concept of 6 degrees of separation. Like within 6 degrees, you're connected to everyone, basically.
Right.
It's a right? Small, so I've been in like, room. Yeah, I've been in live events where they said, okay, how many people know this person? And maybe nobody does. But then they say, how many people know someone who's connected to that person? And a bunch of people raise their hand, right?
Right.
And then he'll ask, how do you know? And they'll say, well, like, I'm friends with their sister or their brother or their parents or, you know, I work for their company, or, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You never know whose connections you might tap into. So you might be going along, you're making all these podcasts, you feel like you're getting no traction at all. And then one day, some major influencer talks about you, and all of a sudden you get 1,000 new followers. So you never know. The main thing is you have to know who you are, know what your goal is, know why you're doing it. The why is really important. Know why you're doing it and be consistent. Now, sometimes life happens and you need to take a break, but you don't lose everything. When you come back, some people remember you, and you just come back and you're consistent again and you get those people back.
Yes, that's true, because when I took a hiatus, I use Audio Boom. Audio Boom is a distribution company for podcasting. So, one thing I learned about podcasting, analytics is the most important thing in the world. The numbers, whether it's low or high, or what city or country listen to your podcast, I pay attention to that. So, when I wasn't dropping many episodes at all, I was still getting listeners. Like, I get about maybe 100 listeners like a week without even uploading an episode. So I'm like, okay, cool. That means that my fan base, my core fan base, they're listening to, you know, the podcast. Because before I took that break, I was very consistent. Like, I was very like consistent, like I'd drop an episode almost every day or every other day. I should drop episodes like 3 or 4 times out the week. So
right, and people keep discovering those new people that have heard you before, and they come across another one and go, oh, I know that guy, and they listen to it. And so yeah, and there you just mentioned something that could be valuable. If you know how to do analytics for podcasters, you could either write it or get with a writer.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like to write, you can come and say, okay, this is my knowledge. This is how I do it. This is what I look at. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm looking for. This is how my goal is. I'm trying to do, you know, what I'm trying to accomplish. You get with the writer and you document all that. And then that can go and be content. Like, you could end up being published on a big site.
Mm-hmm.
That wants some new content about analytics for podcasters. Like on my blog, GrowMap, I have a post about analytics for YouTubers, right? And that's a very popular post because everybody that has YouTube needs to know about analytics. And I knew a blogger who does YouTube heavily, so she knows all about the analytics for YouTube because she looks at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so remember that as you are doing what you're doing, you are making knowledge and skills that are valuable to other people, and you can take that and package it. Like, even if you cannot write, a lot of people, like I've had people, they were such bad writers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had one guy, he was just, his writing was horrible.
Mm.
I mean, he wrote really long, rambling, repetitive, hard to get an action out of it type stuff. But he was really good on video. And I said, hey, I really recommend that you stop writing and you focus on doing video. You're really great on video. That long rambling style of his is good on videos. People like to listen to that. They don't like to read that. They don't want to read long rambling 3,000 words, but they will listen to a rambling video.
Yes.
Right? And then if you want something in writing, you can take the highlights out of that long video and make content out of that. Right? Some people, if English wasn't your favorite subject, you can't spell and you can't write, you can do podcasting and video. Get with someone that can write and have them take what you know and put it into written content to be published somewhere. LinkedIn, you can publish it. You might get it on a site like mine at GrowMath. You could get it on some bigger sites too. And that's the other thing. Let's say you want to become better known. You write up, we get together and I write a post about analytics for podcasters. And right. We share it in the podcasting mastermind group, right?
Right.
Well, then maybe some other bigger site sees that and they think, hey, we really ought to have a post about podcasting, analytics for podcasters. And maybe they'll quote you and their content on any kind of big site.
Right.
Right? That happens. In fact, if you really want that to happen, it used to be that if I wrote about something and Christy Hines, who is a very well-known blogger, wrote about it, and somebody else, one of the other well-known bloggers I know, if all three of us happened to write about the same topic, right? If we all three decided to write about analytics for podcasters 1 week, or even within a month or two, it's likely that an editor at another place would say, there seems to be a trend of interest in analytics for podcasters. We ought to do a piece of content on that. And then they might link to or quote from any of those three articles.
Right. Yes.
So then you can become better known and get mentioned maybe on a major site.
Because it is very important, like, you know, to know the analytics. Because, one, that's how you know how much people is listening to your podcast, and the more listeners you make, the more opportunities you could, you know, have as far as, like, you know, get turning your podcast into something that's to create revenue.
Right.
And also,
right. You have to have something to show the sponsors. Potential sponsors want to know these kind of things, and that's why you knowing how to do analytics could be very valuable to other podcasters.
So
even long-time podcasters may not be good at analytics, and they may want to learn from you.
So I have a question, though. For example, the city of, I guess, Dallas, right? I've noticed that they're in my top 10, you know, listenership as far as, like, my podcast. So if I know that city, I'm getting a certain percentage from that city, do I try to get into the network in terms of, like, trying to interview people in that city?
You could. And maybe there's a famous podcaster who's based in Dallas and you want to interview them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to say something to people about analytics.
Okay.
And statistics in general. All right, so one reason why Dallas, you might have a lot of people in Dallas, is that two reasons for podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
One is Dallas is a huge city. Dallas-Fort Worth is millions of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
And the traffic, there's a lot of traffic there, and people spend, and people commute there a lot. Mm-hmm. So Dallas-Fort Worth is very spread out, and people might drive an hour each way to work. Well, they're the perfect audience for a podcaster. And so what people need to know is, like, I see people think, well, New York's the place to be. Well, New York's the place where there's the most people.
Right.
Right? So it's important to know, like, California, New York, Texas, and Florida are the four most populous states in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at your analytics, you have a whole lot of people in California or, or Texas or New York or Florida, mm-hmm. that's because there's just more people in those four places. Oh, what and the same thing with cities. Dallas-Fort Worth, huge city. San Antonio, huge city, totally different demographic, right? Los mm-hmm. Angeles, New York City, big, lots and lots of people, right? And so it kind of skews. You may feel like you have a very strong audience in Dallas-Fort Worth and you think, why is that? Mm-hmm. And it might be as simple as there's a whole lot of people there and they're commuting long distances in their own individual cars, right? There's no subway. There's no train.
Right.
Like if you work in Dallas-Fort Worth, a lot of the people that work there don't live there. They live within an hour all the way around. And so they're driving an hour in, an hour out, and they listen to podcasts, mm. right? When I used to drive, I listened to a lot more stuff. Now that I don't drive anywhere, I don't listen to things most of the time, mm. right? I don't listen to as many podcasts as a lot of people in the kind of work that I am in do, just because, you know, I'm kind of focused on other things,
right?
Podcasting is perfect for if you're doing something you don't have to think about. Right, like driving, mm-hmm. you can listen to, like, the part of your brain that listens to the podcast ideas is different than the part of your brain that's driving the car.
That's true. That's very true.
Right. Yeah. And it's better that they're listening to podcasts than talking on the phone. So podcasts are a good thing for people who commute. So any place, you're likely to get a lot of listeners in places with long commutes. Like Dallas-Fort Worth has a commute. It's nowhere near as bad as Houston. And it's nowhere near as bad as all of Southern California.
Yeah, because even because I'm based in South Florida, I'm from Miami. Even when I look at areas like the DMV area, like Northern Virginia, Baltimore, DC, I've been up there before, and it's kind of mixed. Like they have a lot of, you know, trains and whatnot, but it's kind of like down here where we have buses and local trains, but people still drive or people walk or people, you know, on their bikes. And for me, like what you just told me, it makes a lot of sense why the major cities, you know, the main cities, you know, pop up, you know, in my analytics, because it's true. There's millions and millions of people there. And out of that one, probably every, I'm just putting this out there, maybe like one out of 20 people will be listening to not only my podcast, but any other podcast or any other up and coming, you know, YouTube channel or artist that's got music that's out there. They listen to them because, you know, you have people out here that just willing to get into something new, you know? So yeah, that's, you answered my question. Like, you answered my question.
Right.
Before we.
Yeah, so it helps. It helps to have a background. So you're probably way younger than me, and I'm way older than most people. I've mm-hmm. been in computers since 1977. I've been on the internet since 1994.
Wow. So
you. Right. I've been freelancing full time since 2000. So for 22 years, I've made a living entirely online for myself as a freelancer. And so I have a lot of background, you know, like I've helped almost every kind of small business there is. Mm-hmm. And when I was at IBM, because I chose to work second shift, I worked in every kind of business that has IBM equipment.
Right.
I had everything from banks to hospitals to fire departments, police, and every kind of business. Manufacturing, grocery stores, I mean, everything. And so I have background in all the kinds of businesses there are. And that really helps when someone needs a strategy. If I'm familiar with the business they're in, I know the right questions to ask.
Right.
A consultant can only help you in as much as you volunteer the right information or they know the right questions to ask. And sadly, most people do not volunteer really important information. Like I used to work when I ran advertising, I might have a client for a year and I'm working with them every month, regularly talking to them. And a year later, I find out something really important about their business that they should have told me in the beginning.
Mm.
And I had no idea right? Even though I had access to their analytics and to their store, and I could see their trends and all that, you know, I might notice a trend and I might say, hey, you know, it's interesting that you have this trend going on. You know, what's the background on that? And then find out that that was an important part of their business that they neglected to share with me. And so it helps to have an older consultant who knows the business really well, mm-hmm. or a niche. Like, that's something else I want to recommend. You don't want to be a generalist. For example, my site is very broad. It's everything small business.
Right.
And so are some other big sites that are small business oriented. The problem with that is it's too broad. Like, it's hard to monetize that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get a targeted mailing list. And early on, what most bloggers did who weren't big picture people like me, they would pick a lane, right? Like, so they started out blogging about blogging, and eventually they became a blog about customer service, a blog about driving traffic, right? A blog about e-commerce, or even more specific, Shopify-specific e-commerce, or WooCommerce-specific e-commerce, right? So if you want to monetize something, you want to narrow your focus. And everybody starts out, they want to be everything to everyone because they think that way they get the biggest audience, and that does not work.
Right.
You want to be specific. Like, if you're in marketing, you want to be a marketer for dentists. You want to be a real estate marketer. You might even want to be a real estate marketer for people in New York. Right? You want it, and that I figured that out early on. Like, when I first got on the internet, I decided I didn't want to chase customers. I wanted them to come to me. So I was going to do websites for horse-related businesses because I know horses, right? So, and I had, at the, in 1994, the largest horse site on the internet. It ranked for everything horse, right? And so I only made websites related to horse businesses because that way, like, let's say you're a web developer. You make websites. All your friends know you make websites. And someone says, who do you recommend to build a website for a car dealership? And they go, I don't know. Because you just build websites to them. There's nothing specific in their head, right? But if you build websites for car dealerships, everyone who gets asked, who should I hire to build me a car dealership website, would say, oh, so-and-so does that.
So they know,
right? Right. You want to be known for a specific thing. If you're a writer, you want to be an e-commerce writer, a small business writer, a travel blogger, right? You want to be a specific kind of writer. And instead of making less work, and I'm not saying you can never write about anything else. If someone approaches you, even though you're a travel writer, and says, hey, are you willing to write about this? And it's something you know about and you want to write about it, go ahead. But you want to have a persona that says, I am a great travel blogger. I am an expert e-commerce writer. I am really great at analytics, right? Like, we used to be able to name in one hand all the analytics bloggers, right? Because back in the day, you could have what we called a blog log. It was like a list of other blogs in your niche.
Right.
And then Google kind of, you know, threatened people and made them stop doing that. But that was really brilliant because if you knew one analytics blogger, you could find all the other great blogs about analytics really easily. They would all link to each other. You would know where they were, and you could read all the experts on analytics, and there was only like five of them, right? And so that's why you need to specialize in something, right?
Right.
About what, now I'm not saying be boring and only do one little niche thing. And if you make it too narrow, you'll run out of things to cover. But you don't, the being too broad is not good. You don't want to be like a podcaster who just chit-chats about everything in the world and nobody knows why they should listen to you at all, right? You want to kind of pick a lane, right? Yeah, some kind of lane.
Because that was my feel with my podcast. It's called Sports Biz Music. So I was like, of course, I interview people that's in the sports industry, the music industry, and just the overall business industry. And at first I was scared because to me, I'm pretty much covering maybe the 75% of what's going on, you know, as far as, like, you know, you got the sports industry, then you break that down, you have players, you have journalists, you have owners, you have GMs, you have agents. Then in music, same thing. You got managers, agents, record label owners, artists, producers, engineers. And then the business is broad, because not only I'm already attacking that, you know, sports and sports and music, but I'm also, like, I had a young man, I forgot his name, it was a couple years ago, but he worked for Microsoft. I had him on the show, and he was talking about, like, the day, you know, like, the day-to-day things that he do at Microsoft. And I was like, damn, I hope my podcast is not too broad, you know, because my main mission, I let people know, is that I want to interview professionals, you know,
So it may not be too broad. It may not just be clear what your goal is. All right. So this is the thing. Mm-hmm. You think like a subscriber. Yeah. I want to subscribe to podcasts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if one show is about sports and one show is about celebrities and one show is about business,
mm-hmm.
and I only care about one of those things, then I'm not going to subscribe to you.
Right.
And so that's why it's bad to be three things. But maybe that's not really what you're thinking about covering.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe what your podcast is really about, successful people.
Yes.
Right? And yes. So maybe your audience cares about successful people and how they got there, and they don't really care which niche they're in. They just care about successful people. So my question to you is, are you talking about sports? As in who's winning, what the rankings are, that kind of thing? Or are you talking to celebrities who happen to be in sports?
A little bit of both, because my podcast is not news related. I just pretty much, like, majority of my podcast, I'm interviewing people. Like, I had some shows because, you know, that's, remember I told you I took a break, so it was hard for me at the time to reach out to people to come on the show. So some shows, I pretty much, for an hour, like, one episode I was talking about the college football playoffs and how it should be changed. Then another episode I talked about what's going on as far as, like, my local sports teams in Miami. Then I talked about my top 10 rappers of all time. So I had to...
Right. These are different interests.
Yes.
And so what I would say to you is, if you want to do that, you may want to split those into separate podcasts.
Okay.
You might have a Florida sports podcast and a rapper, a music-related thing. Okay, so like me, I like music, but I don't like all music.
Right.
Right? I don't follow sports at all except horse racing, and I don't really follow that very well anymore. I like the horses, yeah, not so much the sport.
My dad used to take me to the horse races when I was small. It was very fun. Very, very fun.
Yeah, right. So, but I'm attracted to racing only for the horses, right? Not mm-hmm. for the sporting, the betting, or any of that
just
stuff.
Just the horses, yeah.
Right? Right, so I'm in horse groups related to racing, but we talk about pedigrees and breeding
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing. And I'm in horse groups related to having horses, like how to take care of horses, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not... I left the horse business a long time ago, so I'm really not plugged into that anymore, so I'm not doing that. So what I'm saying is, if you cover too many things, people will subscribe and unsubscribe, right? They'll subscribe because you did a show on sports, mm-hmm. but then the next show is not about sports, and they go, eh, and they unsubscribe.
Right.
And so you might want to have separate ones, or pick one and make that one strong, and then add a second one.
Mm-hmm.
Or choose something overarching, like I said, maybe what you're really after is, how are people successful in whatever they're doing? And then your niche isn't really sports or music or whatever, or business. It's, how did people get successful, because I want to be successful too.
Right.
Right? That's a different niche. And I'm not saying it's impossible. If you're a big enough personality and you have big enough guests, mm-hmm. maybe you can get people to subscribe and just tune out what they don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen for decades now that it's much easier to grow and monetize a very targeted topic than it is if your topic has too many pieces. There are people who are generalists like me. I'm a big picture, a really big picture futurist kind of person.
Right.
So I know how that thing over there is related to this thing over here, but 90% of humans don't. Like if I'm talking about one thing in Biz Sugar and I mention something else, most people won't understand why I mentioned that something else, because to them they're not related, and to me they are.
Mm.
Right? And so maybe you'll have an audience, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Maybe there are people who are really into rappers, sports, and business, all three of them. And they may love your podcast because it's their three favorite interests.
Right.
Right? You never know. There's an audience for everything. The size of the audience varies. It's just harder. Like, let's say you want to get a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get a music sponsor. Do they want to sponsor you if you talk about one-third music, one-third sports, and one-third business? I don't know.
Mm.
Right? What if you want to get a sports sponsor? They're more likely to sponsor a podcast all about sports than they are to sponsor a podcast that's one-third three different things.
Right?
So that's what you have to think about. You have to go and say, okay, what's my goal? What am I really trying to get at? Who am I interviewing and why? Why am I interviewing these specific people? Where is it I'm trying to go? And then decide what you want the structure to be.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to know that because I'm right now 30 years old. I'm older. I'm just, you know, I like to get certain feedback, and you've been doing it for a long, long time. And you know, I always look at the veterans, the people who's been doing it. I always look for y'all, you know, feedback and opinions, so I can also, you know, take that to my show, because I have been thinking about revamping my show, you know, taking it to another level, as far as like the guests. And yeah, it's just, I just feel like, you know, that's needed, not even just for me, but for any other platform, you know, whether, like I say, it was podcasting, you know, YouTuber, just any creative content, any content creator right now, we, you know, sometimes we want to hear from other people and see like, what can we do? What can we do next? What can we bring new to the table? What can we take out, you know, as far as like what we, you know, what we created so we could be able to grow? Cause you know, you look at all these companies like Amazon one day, at one point they were supposed to be competing with Barnes and Nobles, but they grew so much. They're competing with, you know, like places like Target and Walmart. And now they in the entertainment sector now. So it's just, you know, for me, it's like I want to grow my podcast and, you know, my other business, you know, to a point where I would listen and take any type of advice so that I can just, you know, mold them and, you know, have them, you know, big, you know, have them, you know, be successfully big and of course bring me, you know, the revenue and everything else that comes with it.
Right. So one disadvantage to podcasts is that it's not interactive. Like you can't interact with your subscribers, your followers, whatever they call them on various platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you could do is try to encourage them, let's say, to follow you on LinkedIn. You could create a podcast page on LinkedIn and ask them to follow you there and put up a poll and try to find out what the people that are actively listening to you want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You do the same thing in the mastermind. Let's say you joined the podcast mastermind community. We could create a private community for your listeners, and you could poll them and ask them, hey, please come here and tell me, what would you like me to do with the podcast? Would you like me to do more sports? Would you like me to do more business? Would you like me to do more rap or music or whatever? You need a way to interact with them. So you need to take them from just listening mode, which is a little hard because maybe they only listen to you when they're in the car on their way to work, and by the time they get to work, they don't remember, right? But if you can get them to interact with you somewhere,
right.
that you can pull them and talk to them and they can talk to you, that really helps you know who your audience is and what they're thinking and what they want, what they like, what they don't like, right? But you cannot be all things to everyone. Like right. on Twitter, it was really funny. When I had like 20,000 followers, I had a guy actually tweeted me and he goes, hey, I really like following you, but I want you to tweet less.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's very interesting. And I actually wrote a post says, you know, this is Twitter. It's not Burger King or something like that.
Exactly. It's...
right? So the problem is this. If I have 20,000 followers, I cannot do what 20,000 different people want me to do. Right? I can only do what I'm doing. And if you don't like that, then you can stop following, right?
Exactly.
It is impossible. It is impossible to make two people happy all the time. It is really impossible to make 10,000, 20,000, or 100,000. Some people will think you tweet too often. Other people will think you don't tweet enough. You know, there is apparently an audience for everything. Like, I don't like snarky people, but snarky people have big audiences. So clearly some people like snarky people, right?
Right.
I don't like profanity, so I don't follow people. Like, I like Gary Vee, and I'd love to put his videos in my content, except that he almost never makes it through a video without dropping an F-bomb, so I can't use him.
Right.
Right? Or I choose not to. Believe it or not, the young people may be shocked to know that there are older people, maybe younger people too, that don't like profanity and will not follow you if you're always using profanity. Right? But I know that there's an equal number of mm-hmm. people who will follow you because you use profanity.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to decide who you are and do you. You have to do you. You're the only person anyone can do. And some people won't like that and they may be verbal about it. But all you can do is be polite back and say, you know, I hear you. However, the rest of my audience likes it, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and so you have to be kind of in tune to your audience. And like, if you do something that you're losing all of them, that would be bad. But you cannot try to cater to every whim of every person because you'll go crazy and they'll still not be happy. And the people that want you to change the most are the people who will just keep wanting changes and will never be happy.
Yeah,
so it's pointless.
Right.
Don't even go down that road because it's pointless anyway.
Right. Now this, you put me on game today. And you know, like you said, because what's crazy was, my Twitter, I should follow way more people than I did, but I had to clean it up. You know, I was cleaning up people that wasn't posting as much no more. And I'm the same way. Like, I'm 30 years old. I'm not no angel. I curse sometimes, but when you have a child now, because I have a 1-year-old, so my mindset kind of changes. So I try to I don't really cuss that much anyway, but I try to limit on what I say, but also with people around me, like you could people gotta understand, like you could say certain things that could be funny while saying some crazy stuff, you know, like the F bombs and all that. But you know, like you said, you can't really please everyone. You can't, because everybody will drive each other crazy. They try to please everyone. But before,
yeah, you can't. Yeah, you have to decide. And there's an old saying that you become the five people you spend the most time with. Right? Everything that you let into your brain affects you long term. So right. If you hang out with people who use profanity constantly, I'm not saying everyone curses sometimes.
Yeah.
If you hit your thumb with a hammer and you curse, I'm never going to hold that against anyone. Right? But the people that feel compelled to litter every sentence with an F-bomb,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be talking like that. I don't want to be influenced by that. So right. I don't listen to that. And so every person has to decide, who do I want to be like? Who do I want to be? You have to surround yourself with other people who want to be that. You don't want to surround yourself. Like, if you surround yourself with negative people, you'll get more and more negative.
Right.
Right. And if you don't want to be negative, then you need to limit your exposure to negative people.
Right.
Right. So whatever you believe is important to you, you want to be around and consuming, you know, videos or podcasts or content or whatever you're consuming needs to be in line with what you want to be. You have to quit wasting time listening to things that are not who you want to be.
Exactly. Exactly. And before we close out the podcast, I have one question for you. Where do you see yourself and your companies 5 to 10 years from now?
And so that always makes me smile. So, all right. So there's two kinds of people. And I see this all the time, like on a Twitter chat today, I saw it. There's the kind of people who want to be Amazon, right? Mm-hmm. They want to be some big somebody that makes billions and has thousands of people working for them. Mm-hmm. And then there's other people like me. And my life is unlike anyone's, you know. I live in the middle of nowhere on a place the size of a big golf course, where I spend time with my horses, ducks, and dogs, and garden.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I don't party, and I really don't go anywhere. The last movie I saw in a theater was Seabiscuit, whatever year that was.
Wow.
And the one before that was Out of Africa, whatever year that was, 1990-something. And so my life isn't like anybody else's life. Mm-hmm. And in my life, I like peace and tranquility and nature and gardening. And so those are important to me. And so having goals, like setting a goal, goals are how companies get you to work yourself to death and have no life.
Right.
Right. I mean, I hate to say that because the big business people will hate me for this.
No, that's true.
But if you're an employer and you set a goal and then you give your people more stuff than they could possibly do in the amount of time you give them to do it, you are trying to force them to work for you for free and not have a life, right? Because you're telling them you have to achieve this goal. On the way to that goal, though, you have to do all these other things that I'm going to pay you 40 hours a week for, but they're going to really take you 120 hours a week, and I don't care because I expect you to meet that goal, right? To me, that is not living, and I don't want to do that. And I left the corporate world after 23 years for a reason. You know, I got tired of being overworked, underpaid, and never getting to sleep all night because they called me in the middle of the night almost every night. Mm-hmm. And I was on call 24/7, so I don't have a smartphone, which freaks people out. I also don't have a television and haven't had one most of my adult life.
Ain't nothing
wrong
with
that. There's nothing on television I want to watch. Mm-hmm. I have YouTube and computers. I can watch whatever I want, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm weird that way. So if you want to be, like if your goal is to be the next big thing, mm-hmm. and you want to be an agency with employees and staff and attorneys and accountants and all that, you need goals. And you need short-term and long-term goals, and you have to work really hard, and you probably won't have a life, but you'll work towards your goal if you worship money. Okay, so I don't. I put God first in my life.
Mm-hmm, always.
And health second, mm-hmm. and taking care of what I need to do. And I work to live, not live to work. And I know that's odd. And I know that a lot of people who think that they put God first really don't, because they don't trust him. They feel like they have to have that job. They have to do that work. They are worshiping money first, and they're not worshiping the Creator first. And so I actually put the Creator first, and I do what I am called to do every day. Mm. And I make enough money to do what I need to do, but I don't care about money and I don't care about things.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Right? And so I know that's weird, but I think there's more people like me than people realize. They're now selling their places in the city, moving to the country, and producing their own food because there's a big food shortage coming and bad inflation coming. And everyone everywhere should produce their own food, and you can do that even in an apartment.
If
they don't know how, come and ask me, and I'll tell them how. The food shortage is real. Yes. Everyone should have real food in their homes and water, and be prepared because inflation is going to be a horrendous, worse than we've ever seen in my lifetime.
I was just telling somebody that because I'm from Miami, and when I was growing up, Miami, we had, people may not realize, but we had a lot of farmlands. We still do, but you know, everybody's moving down here. We had a lot of farming. We had a lot of nurseries. But now that it's a food shortage, and some days when I would go driving, certain area, like for example, it's a new thing where people are starting to franchise and they're starting to build plazas and whatnot. And for me, some of the plazas don't make no sense because it's like nobody's not coming. I drive by the plazas every week. Or every day, you don't see a lot of people there. So I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, instead of building that plaza, that could have been like a nursery for like vegetables and fruits, you know?
Well, it may turn into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. People don't realize this. In Texas, I saw something that made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of landscapers are Hispanic, right?
Right.
And I saw all these buildings. And they had this beautiful ground cover next to the building. Like, so they had the yard, but then they had the bushes and the trees, and they had this beautiful landscaping around the building.
Right.
What they planted was sweet potatoes. And I thought, that's brilliant. You get your business customer to pay you to plant ground cover. And then at the end of the season, you dig up all those sweet potatoes and take them home, and then you can plant something else in there for the winter.
Right.
Right. People don't know that. If you are prohibited from having a garden in your front yard, plant sweet potatoes. Nobody knows what they are except people that grow sweet potatoes. And there is a ornamental sweet potato, and then there's a sweet potato that produces food.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't know that. The leaves of sweet potatoes are edible. The leaves are for salads.
Mm-hmm.
And so are the roots, obviously, and they keep all winter, right? There is a brilliant YouTube channel. There's a guy in Florida who lived an entire year off of just what he could either grow or forage. Forage means find wild, right? He lived an entire year, and he has a video series that shows what he ate and how he got it and how he grew it and all that kind of thing. Florida is a tropical area, and yes, you guys can grow stuff that I can't grow where I live. And you can plant enough plants on a half an acre to get all your food off of a half an acre. And so they keep saying it's impossible to grow enough food for all the people. Well, that's not really true.
It's not true.
There's videos. I just saw a video the other day where a guy is growing food for a fancy restaurant in 3,200 milk crates. I think it was 3,200 on the roof of a building near the World Trade Center, or not near, which one's near NATO or something. On the roof of a building, this guy grows all the food that this restaurant serves. Like all the vegetables and greenery, everything like that restaurant serves is grown right there.
Mm-hmm.
They harvest it and walk it 100 feet into the restaurant to be served immediately.
No, that's true. Because,
right?
Yeah.
Right. So you can grow food. Like, I can grow enough vegetables in 20 inches by 20 inches to have a dinner plate-sized salad every single day. And I do it inside in front of a window without any light. I grow tomatoes all winter in the house in a window. And I have, that's the tomatoes to put on there. I can sprout things. You can sprout, even let's say you don't have any windows. If you had a terrible place with no windows, you can sprout things in jars, and you can grow things in any kind of flat tray that you can put holes in the bottom of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can grow food of some kind no matter where you live and what your circumstances are. And Florida especially, I mean, you can grow so much stuff there. Like, you can grow citrus there,
yeah,
and you can grow trees that die where most people live, like fig trees and tangerines and lemons and oranges and grapefruits and all that stuff will grow in Florida, but it would die. Like in Texas, even, you can't grow citrus. Yeah. Only in Southern California and Florida can you grow citrus unless you have a greenhouse.
Yeah,
there's places like in far north that have citrus, but they have very specialized greenhouses to do that. But yeah, everyone should be growing food. There's all kinds of videos on YouTube, and anybody can reach out to me. I'm GrowMap everywhere. I'm GrowMap on Skype and on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, every social media platform there is. And also they can join the BizSugar community for free by going to bizsugar.com/mastermind. And all you need is your name and your email, and you can get in for free and ask me anything you want and anything they want to know. Like, I just spent some time yesterday helping a guy. He just moved, helping him know how to grow food. Right? They're renting, so they don't want to plant, you know, they don't want to dig up the yard. They don't want to put in any big raised beds because they're going to move.
Right.
And so I told them all the ways you can grow in movable containers.
Wow.
So grow map originally meant business, but now it also means food.
Yeah, because like you said, that shortage is real. But
yeah, it's real. It's serious. You know, it really is. In fact, I'll give you guys tips, the things you want to make sure you have: lots of salt, lots of sugar. If you know how to bake or you're going to learn, you should learn to bake. Because when the shutdown happened the first time, you could not buy flour, baking soda, baking powder, or yeast anywhere.
Anywhere.
And eventually they ran out of wheat berries, which is what you grind up to get flour. And there was a pinto bean shortage, too, because of crop failure or bad crop the year before. And so those things will go. But when you end up having to grow what you eat and you can't buy what you want, or you learn to forage, you can actually eat a lot of – a lot of people don't know that in their yard there are food growing wild in their yard, what they call weeds. A lot of that stuff's edible.
Mm-hmm.
Not overly tasty, some of it, but edible. But you have to have seasoning. So you need oil, and you need oil for sure, and you need spices. Salt, pepper, sugar, and all kinds of spices. And on my website, ironically, at growmap.com/recommended,
mm-hmm.
I think that's where it is, there is a page of all the stuff that I buy and where I buy it. Where I buy bulk spices, and I buy only organic, and there's seeds on there too. I'm sure there is. A whole list of places you can buy really good seeds that are very reliable. And so even if you're not doing anything else, go buy seeds and have them in case you need them.
Wow. You put me and everybody else that was listening on game. Gail Gardner, you know, thank you for coming on the show. Again, we need another episode. We need a part two, because it's a lot of things that you said that, especially for my generation and the generations behind me, We need that, because, you know, like I tell people all the time, you know, history is always going to repeat itself. And back in my grandparents and my parents' days, like, it was a such thing as a community garden, and now we actually need that. But thank you so much for coming on the show.
I'm happy to do it. I'm going to leave you with one more tip.
Okay.
If you have any family that are very elderly that know how to grow food, or maybe you have some elderly neighbors and they have room at their place, but they're not healthy and strong enough to raise a garden anymore,
mm-hmm.
they have all kinds of skills that you could use. And maybe you could say, hey, you know, if you'd like to have a garden, I could do the work for you and share what I grow with you.
Right.
Yeah. Right. There are now, and we're talking about older, like, people, generally speaking, these skills were lost in my generation. Like, I have the skills, but most people in the 60s, in their 60s today, may not have those skills. Now, in the country, they do.
Mm-hmm.
But in the cities, people in their 60s, the women worked and they did not pass on how to sew, how to cook, how to bake, mm-hmm. how to can, that kind of stuff. I haven't had those skills, but most people my age don't. But in their 70s, 80s, 90s, all those people had to grow food.
Yeah.
There weren't grocery stores like we have today. And so take a tape recorder if they'll let you, and go ask them to tell you the stories of how they grew food, how what they did before there was electricity, how they lived through the Great Depression, that kind of thing.
Yeah, my grandparents, they, like, my grandma, her family from the Bahamas, And my granddad, his family from Georgia, so they used to tell me stories all the time. My mom, she tell me stories about all the time, like how the Bahamians, they'll, you know, grow their fish and grow crop and everything. And then when my granddad and his parents moved down from Georgia, they'll like plant different things and grow their own greens and everything. So yeah, I heard them stories a lot. It's just that now I'm trying to, you know, hear them stories and try to implement that too to my life, because I want to do that too.
Right. So look at YouTube. There's a channel called Growing Your Greens.
Okay.
That's a very good gardening channel. Marjorie Wildcraft has a good gardening channel. There, the skills are there. There's videos on YouTube about everything you would possibly want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you like kale, if you can like kale, kale is the biggest weed I have ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You plant kale, it's crazy. If the more you neglect it, it lives. If it freezes to the ground, it comes back.
Right, yes.
It's like an amazing plant. If they charge a lot of money for kale in a grocery store, that would be crazy, because a few cents worth of seeds, you get more kale than you know what to do with.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I encourage people, listen to the people. And ask them their stories, like mm-hmm. record them if you can, because, you know, they're not going to be with us much longer, a lot of them.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And they have
yeah.
all kinds of skills, mad, crazy good skills that we need today.
Yes, we do. And, you know, once again, thank you for coming on the show. Hopefully, you know, you come on the show again and we talk
sure.
more about this, because it's needed, because, our generation, you know, we kind of lost that traditional, you know, family, in terms of you stay home, even with the eating at the table with no cell phones or anything. Like, we need to go back to that, because that's why it's a lot of
yeah.
things that's going on right now that's negative right now.
Yeah, there's a lot. I'm happy to come back and talk about anything you'd like to talk about. Anytime, just let me know.
All right, I'll let you know. And then just be your boy.
DJ Anonymous.
DJ Anonymous on another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast, with Miss Gail Gardner. And we out.